Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. Thanks so much for tuning in today. It is Monday, January 30th, almost only 2 days left until we get into our second month of the year. Time is flying, guys and gals. Well, hey, welcome to the show. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. I really didn't do too much. I kind of stayed inside. It's a little cold here in Northeast Ohio, so it's a little chilly, but I got to get ready for next week's Rust Belts and Rainbow show, my new LGBT show that's going to be right here on Left of Straight Radio that talks about all stuff going on between Cleveland and Pittsburgh and all points in between, including my little burg of Youngstown, Ohio, and then there's Akron, Ohio, and Erie, Pennsylvania. So it should be a fun show starting up next week with my buddy Bob Ross. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Great show today, guys. We have Katie Barberi coming on in just a few minutes. She is the a telenovela superstar, an American actress, and has just created a new graphic novel last year called Daylight Sucks, which I love. It's a story of vampires, and they're not just any old vampires, but they kind of have a cause, and it's pretty cool. So she'll be on in just a couple minutes. Going on the rest of the week, we have a couple great shows for you. Tomorrow on the Left of Straight Show, I have the creators and stars of the web series Gossip Boy. It's coming back for its third season next month, and we're going to be talk to all those guys. It's a great web series. If you haven't seen it yet, you can find it online. And then Wednesday, coming up to stand on my soapbox with me and talk about so much stuff happening in LGBT news and, of course, the political world and pop culture, I have my buddy Gaetano Jones from 3 Day Weekend, and he's been on the show before, but he'll be standing up for the soapbox with me. So great series of shows this week. Last week, if you missed anything, remember you can never miss an episode by either, if you're following on Blog Talk Radio now, live, hit the little pink follow button right underneath the pictures you're seeing there, or you can subscribe to us on Spreaker. That's www.spreaker.com/leftofstraight, LEFTOFSTR, and the number 8. And you can listen to our free app anytime on your iPhone or Android phone. Just go into your app store on your phone, type in Left of Straight Radio. That's LEFTOFSTR and the number 8 radio. And you can download our free app that has all the Left of Straight radio shows on it, including right now the Left of Straight show. So last week we had Terry Ray and Alexander Rodriguez and Stan Zimmerman with me. Three great shows. And Alexander Rodriguez, of course, my buddy over on the Rocks radio, over there at UBN radio, he has his big show tonight, LA. If you haven't made plans for night in LA and you got a little bit, 8 o'clock tonight at Rockwell Table and Stage in LA, he's doing his show. He's bringing some great friends with a couple hours of song and drinking and stories, and a good time will definitely be had by all. So be sure to head over to Rockwell Table and Stage if you happen to be out in the LA area this evening. Special thanks to True FM Online right here in Columbus, Ohio, that carries a show simulcast on there and carries all of my shows. Thank you to them. And of course, to Tony Guadagnino, who is great at help getting our social media posts out there about all the shows going on. Thanks to those guys. couple things I want to talk about before we have Katie come on here. Right now, it's real concerning. Like I said, I'm not going too much into politics here, but it does deal with our LGBT community, that there's a lot of sources that are speaking to LGBTQ nation on condition of anonymity that there's going to be an executive order from Donald Trump coming very soon that's going to allow for discrimination in a number of areas against the LGBT, including employment, social services, business, and adoption. Sean Spicer has been asked about it twice. He says, I won't comment on anything that's not officially out in the public yet. That word yet is very scary. So that's something we're going to be watching. So pay attention to that. Speaking of the LGBT, we are having a big, it is officially formal. We are going to have a huge march on Washington ourselves. You saw the Women's March last weekend or the weekend before last, and everything, and the spur of the moment protests that popped up this weekend at airports all across the country. Guys, it's just crazy time here in our country. And we are going to do an LGBT march on Washington on June 11th of this year. That's actually Washington, D.C. Pride, so it's going to be a good time had by all, as well as really making our visibility seen to this new administration and everyone up there in Congress and on the courts and everywhere else, that we will not lose the visibility we've gained under President Obama. So if you have are making vacation plans for the summer, June 11th in Washington, D.C. is the place to be. I hope you will join us all. I'm going to make a point of going there. That is for darn sure. Of course, this weekend, like I said, we have the Muslim ban executive order that's gone over like a ton of bricks, and it's been all over the place. It's going to be really interesting to talk to Katie. Katie is Mexican-born American. And I'd love to hear some of her thoughts on this. You know, like I said, try to keep a little bit away from political on this show, but, you know, I love it. I love me some politics. So that was a crazy weekend of protests all over the place with ACLU getting involved in a couple stays of the order, and it's just become a huge, wild mess. So all that going on, what I'm going to play for you now, there is a Broadway show that has been going like gangbusters. All my friends have been talking about it online, on social media. All my LGBTQ friends, all my straight friends, everybody who's anybody in New York is talking about this Broadway play. It's called Dear Evan Hansen, and it stars Ben Platt. It's a musical. The music's composer, Pasek and Paul, who wrote music for things like Smash TV show and La La Land that's now in theaters and everything. So it's got this great pedigree, and it's about a very shy guy that kind of gets caught up in a social media world and becomes like overnight famous, internet famous for meeting this one guy, and it's not LGBT centered, but a lot of the themes are very, could coalesce well with the LGBT themes. Well, they are having their soundtrack coming out in just a couple of days here, early next month. And I really encourage you to get the soundtrack. Like I said, if you had it in New York, you haven't seen it yet. It's one of the hottest tickets on Broadway. It's becoming like a little mini Hamilton here. But this is their big anthem that closes the first act. It's called You Will Be Found. And there's so many things that I think kind of coalesce, like I said, along with the LGBT community, that I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to go ahead and play this for you. And this is Ben Platt and company from Dear Evan Hansen singing You Will Be Found. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the great actress, Katie Barbieri. You're listening to Left to Straight Show, guys. Thanks so much for being part of it. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall and no one would hear? Well, let that lonely feeling wash away. Maybe there's a reason to believe you'll be okay. 'Cause when you don't feel strong enough to stand, you can reach out your hand. And oh, someone will come running, and I know they'll take you home. Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, and when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, 'cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. Lift your head and look around. You will be found. You will be found. You will be found. You will be found. You will be found.
Have you seen this? Someone put a video of your speech online.
My speech?
People started sharing it, I guess. And now, I mean, Connor is
Your
everywhere.
Speech is everywhere. This morning, the Connor Project page, it only had 56 people following.
Well, how many does it have now?
4,582,239.
I don't understand. What happened?
You did. There's a place where we don't have to feel unknown.
Oh, my God. Everybody needs to see this.
Every time that you call.
If you only say the word,
take 5 minutes.
This will make your day.
From across the silence, your voice is heard.
Share it with the people you love.
Repost.
The world needs to hear this.
A beautiful tribute.
Favorite. I know someone who really needed to hear this today. So thank you, Evan Hansen, for doing what you're doing.
I never met you, Connor, but coming on here, reading everyone's posts, it's so easy to feel alone, but Evan is exactly right. We're not alone. None of
We're not alone. None of us.
Well, especially now, with everything you hear in the news.
Like, yeah.
Thank you, Evan Hansen, for giving us a space to remember Connor.
To be together.
To find each other.
Sending prayers from Michigan,
Vermont,
and
Sacramento.
Thank you, Evan Hansen.
Repost. Thank you, Evan Hansen.
You will be found.
All righty, guys. We are back. That is, like I said, the main closing of first act of the new play in New York called Dear Evan Hansen. Have heard nothing but rave reviews about that. So excited for their first song, their album to come out in just a couple of days. I hope you'll listen to it. I'm trying to get a couple of people from the show on the show here. But it's time to, hey, let's go forward. I'm so excited today to bring you my first guest. She's a beautiful actress, both inside and out. You may have seen her in numerous roles on television and film, including Silver Spoons, The Bronx Zoo, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And she's also a telenovela superstar, including such shows as Salome, Barbera, Corazon Valiente. Her most recent project is bringing some of her telenovela co-stars and friends to lend their likeness to a graphic novel series called Daylight Sucks, which I absolutely love. It's about a family of vigilante vampires whose primary diet includes people, humans against the environment, immigration, LGBT equality, animal rights, so much more. It's such a great concept. Please welcome to the show, everyone, the lovely Katie Barbera. Katie, how are you?
I'm so good because you so did your homework, and it's so awesome that you know about this. Thank you so much. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be here talking to you, and I know that you're very
excited
friends
too.
With Jeff.
I ordered there's two of the series out so far. I had to order them today because it is so cool, and I just got to all my research this week, and it's like, why haven't I got this yet? And I am excited. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And the comic book genre is a genre that Craig Hurley, who is my fiance and who's actually the creator of this project, and you, as I understand, are also a comic book geek, very proudly a comic book geek. Yeah, it's a genre that I'm just learning about. And real comic book aficionados really don't start to take it seriously until there are at least two or three issues out of a new story. So we're very excited, and we're in the promotion stage, but we're happily in the promotion stage, and we've gotten nothing but amazing feedback on this project, and it's just really exciting. It's a lot of fun, and it's kind of really timely, you know, at this time in our lives and in our history, for the Allenwick family, the family of vigilante vampires, the Allenwicks, to be around.
Well, it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to talk. I have so much to ask about it, but I'm going to hold off a little bit on the graphic novel here, get to know each other a little better here. By the way, happy belated birthday. Last Sunday was your birthday.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, let's tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. I know you were born in Mexico. But you kind of bebopped around a lot between America and Mexico with your parents' job. Tell me about that, and what started your dream about being in show business?
I don't remember ever having thought of doing anything else. My father was in hotel management, which I thought was great because that meant a lot of really fun travels. He would handle the development of a hotel in Mexico, different beaches. So it was just awful, no, because we'd have to go and be at the different beaches and watch the hotel get developed, and then he'd run it for maybe a year, get bored, and move on. But I didn't, you know, I admired hotel administration, but I, you know, from the time I was very, very, very little, we're talking 4 or 5 years old, I fell in love with my mother's profession. And my mother was a singer, actress, and doing theater in Mexico while my dad was working. My dad, Mexican, my mom, American, very American, from Peoria, Illinois, and my father, very Mexican, from Celaya, Mexico. And they were an interesting pair, and she was doing theater in Mexico. And when I discovered, I think when I discovered what I was going to do for the rest of my life was when she was doing The Sound of Music in Mexico, and she was part of the chorus, so she played one of the nuns, and then she played one of the guests at the party, the Von Trapp party, and they just had her doing different roles. And I was furious, because they would not let me audition for the role of Gretel, who was 5 in the movie and in the play. But they had an age limit. The actresses
That's
had to
so
be at
cute.
Least 8 or over. Yeah, so they had two little girls that they had playing the role of Gretel throughout the run, and they would split it over the week. And so I would stand in I would stand in the wings or the sidelines of the stage, and I would wear the costumes that the other little girl was wearing in each scene, and I would do the numbers behind the wings, like not in front of the audience, but right off to the side of the stage. And pretty much everybody said to my mom, I think that this is, you know, I think vulgarly, you're screwed. I think this is what she's going to be doing for the rest of her life. So that's when I got the bug, and I never really got out. I started acting professionally when I was 10 in L.A., and by the time I was 20, I was in Mexico starting my telenovela career, and that happened in a weird way. They wanted to sell the telenovela genre, which I don't know how much you know about it, but the telenovela genre is like a really long miniseries. That's how I describe it to gringos, as we're called, or Americans, because, you know, English-speaking folk, because, you know, it's a genre that we haven't really seen in the United States yet, in its entirety, the way a telenovela runs. It runs 6 to 8 months. It has a beginning, a development, a middle, and an end, and then you move on and you do the next project, and they're all prime time. And they run in the United States, and we have some of the highest ratings. Now we are actually the third at Telemundo. They are the third most watched network in the United States in either language, meaning somewhere between ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox is Telemundo right in the middle there. And I've done now 20 of them. I started in Mexico. They were trying to sell the genre in English, so they had me go down and do a version of a show they were doing there with Televisa, which is the biggest distributor of telenovelas in the world, and they distribute to over 80 countries. And they did a version in Spanish of a show called, which is what they do, they produce in Spanish, called Acapulco Cuerpo y Alma, and they did a version in English called Acapulco Bay. And I was cast as the antagonist. Yeah, this was when I was like 21. And I was cast as the antagonist for that show. And I thought, well, cool, because, you know, I'd been working in L.A. as a child actress all those years, strictly Anglo market. And I said, I can go down there. I can see my family. I hadn't seen my dad's family in a really long time. So it was a great gig for me. And then while I was there, there's one casting director for all the producers at Televisa, which is this huge studio. And he called me in and he said, we'd like to offer you a contract to do telenovelas. Now, I was born in Mexico, but I really didn't speak a lot of Spanish. So I said, yo no hablar muy bien el español, yo no saber. And I was concerned because I was going to be going on the air in Spanish. And I thought, I can't do this, even though I was born there. And he said, that's okay. We have an in-house acting school, diction school, everything else. It was based on the star system. I don't know if you know anything about, I'm sure you do, the golden age of film in the United States, the 30s and the 40s, the star system at MGM. They did the exact same thing at Televisa. When I got down there in the late 90s, they were doing the exact same thing. And you could take anything from singing classes to fencing classes to diction classes to anything you want. Yeah, just like Shirley Temple and Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland did in the golden age of film. So I took diction from a lady by the name of Adriana Barraza, who later was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Babel with Brad Pitt and, you know, all these amazing actors. Sure. And she played this great part, and she was nominated for Best Supporting Act. Anyway, she was my diction coach. And I love her dearly now, but at the time I considered her to be a total Gestapo, because she would make me work 6 days a week in order to get rid of that dialect, that American dialect that I had, Hablando Español. And in 6 months, this lady had me speaking like I was born and raised in the country. And now I've had the opportunity to work with her several times in my life here in the United States and in Mexico and what have you. So we continued that relationship. But
that's crazy. That was one of my first questions. I wanted to know if you learned both at the same time, because it is such spot on that I was wondering if you learned it all at once. But you did. You waited till 20-something years old. That's amazing. Wow.
Well, the thing is, I did learn it as one language when I was a kid. But as I got older, you know, living in the United States and, you know, working strictly the Anglo market, and when I would go down and visit my dad, he would take advantage of the fact that I was down there and practice his English. So I spoke very little Spanish, you know, even when I was in Mexico visiting him. So I did need those diction classes in Televisa, but I dove right into them. And I was speaking like I was raised there very, very quickly.
So, now I have a question for you. Oops, go ahead.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
No. Well, I started working in the genre, and I did 12 telenovelas in Mexico in 9 years. And then I was transferred here to the United States through Televisa, who was purchasing a channel on Univision, and did a couple of projects for them. And then I started working for Telemundo. However, and that has been a fantastic experience, and I'm always very grateful for any opportunity that I've been given. But it's very interesting how life works, Scott, and the reasons why we do the things that we do. And there are times when you don't quite understand why the path is so clearly, you know, the direction that you're being taken in. Well,
right.
I became a member of SAG-AFTRA when I was 10 years old in the United States, in L.A., because, you know, everyone knows that SAG-AFTRA, the SAG Awards, which you saw on last night, which were awesome. And everyone knows that in L.A., in New York, in Chicago, and in Miami, in most situations, in order to do a project in the United States, there is a union. It is SAG-AFTRA, and it has been supporting actors for the last 80 years. Everyone that was at the awards and anyone who does anything on television or film does it through SAG-AFTRA, and it is one of the most tried and true unions in the United States in its history. And now I am at, proudly and respectfully, I'm on the front lines of the fight to get Spanish-speaking actors unionized with Telemundo. Because Telemundo,
I saw that,
while
because
it is,
I did not realize that
yeah.
they weren't part of that. You guys are actually voting for that next week, right?
We are. Well, the ballots, yeah, the ballots go out on the 7th. Oh, my God, you just said it next week and it just hit me. Yes. The ballots do go out on the 7th. I'm very excited to be a part of the process. It's like the amazing Gabriel Carteris said, it's hard, but it's right. And Telemundo is an NBC Universal company.
Right.
Any other actor, any English-speaking actor in the American genre working here in the same country is SAG-AFTRA. They get all their benefits. They get, you know, their health insurance, they get their pension, they get their overtime, they get their residuals. Residuals are vital to an actor because we can't work all year. It is contractually impossible. When you're on
right.
the air, they don't want to flood your image on another project. And I've gotten to the point with 20 telenovelas under my belt that I'm on the air somewhere in the world all the time. So you can't work all year. So what do residuals do? Residuals are a small percentage of what it is that you made on the project, and the justification that SAG-AFTRA has had for many years is that your image is being re-exploited or re-shown in the project, and so you deserve this very small percentage of the sales. But it makes a tremendous difference to any actor, and any English-speaking actor will tell you that it's not something that they just expect it. And I think now with this fight with Telemundo, a lot of them have said, really? That's going on in the United States? That's crazy. That's something we just thought was
right.
very, very established. So it's an honor for me, and it's required a lot of just kind of information and getting through a series of situations where, you know, because any actor that comes from Mexico knows what a union is. They have their own union, and it's ANDA, it's Asociación Nacional de Actores. And that is what actors work under for Televisa. Colombia has a union. Argentina has a union. Chile has a union. Spain has a union. All of these countries have a union. So a lot of these actors know what it's like to work under union conditions. But they get to Miami, and for some reason that I'm confident is going to be rectified soon, NBC Universal has not recognized Telemundo as a union SAG-AFTRA franchise company. So I... you know, we've worked very hard over the last year, and I'm very confident that we're going to get a yes on the votes. We've done our homework, and we've spoken to our coworkers, and I'm very, very excited for these actors who deserve so much more and so much better. And at the end of the day, you know, this is a business, and
right.
it's important to remember it's in everybody's best interest, including the producers, as concerned as they might be. You know, it's in everyone's best interest to see this happen. And so it's just a really, really exciting time in our history as Latinos. You know, this is the first time in 65 years that actors have voted whether or not they wanted a SAG-AFTRA contract in a network. In 65 years ago, ABC, NBC, and CBS went to litigation with SAG-AFTRA only because they were going to be doing pre-taped projects like I Love Lucy, like The Honeymooners, like
right.
Mr. Ed, like all of these classic shows. Well, they voted at that time, and ever since then, every other network from, you know, the CW to Netflix to HBO to any network you can think of has simply gone with that contract, and whatever changes have been voted in through SAG-AFTRA since then. This is the first time as actors in 65 years that we have had to go to a vote, and it's really, really exciting. So it's just a really palpable, beautiful time to be a Latino actor in this country, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. And if I hadn't had this whole experience of having started in L.A. and then doing this work in Mexico, in Colombia, and now Miami, I wouldn't have, you know, the experience to be able to say, guys, this is really, I can tell you with my hand on my heart, this is really going to be great. And just don't be afraid and jump and vote yes. And this amazing union is going to have your back, you know, so it's a lot of fun.
Well, congratulations. I'm so excited for you because I did see that on your profile, and I did watch the SAG Awards last night, and I did not realize that. And NBC Universal is huge. I mean, besides Telemundo, they have, what, USA and about 12 other channels at least.
Yeah.
And to realize that Telemundo is the only one that doesn't have those protections, so they have parity in your benefits and pay, that's just kind of really unconscionable. So good on you, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it's the thing is that I always believe in the good in people, just like Eva Allan Wick, the character that I visually inspire in Daylight Sucks, also believes in the good in people, but she's confident that she's going to be able to find the bad apples, otherwise she's not going to get fed, or her family's not going to get fed. But I believe in the good in people, and I know that this is going to get resolved in a favorable way. And I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of the process. For me, it's an honor, you know.
That is amazing. Now, I have a question. I've seen you in both genres. I've seen you in your telenovela, and I've seen you in your American acting roles. And do you do anything, because you're so fluent and you look so great in it, but I honestly swear to God, when I see you on American TV, I feel like I'm talking to my aunt from like Glendale. And when I see you on the telenovelas, it looks like I could tell you're from some part of Mexico. Do you do anything visually with yourself to psych yourself into that? Or is that just kind of totally unconscious and you just go for it?
You know, Adriana Barraza did not get nominated for an Oscar just for, you know, just because of whatever. The woman is extraordinary, my diction coach. I've always felt that she didn't just teach me how to speak the language fluently. She taught me how to play a character that was raised in that culture. So there's something that happens just to my face and my body language and a series of things when I'm working in Spanish that is different from when I'm working in English. And it's kind of, thank God, because if I really thought about how it has to happen, it might screw me up there for a second. But it's kind of, it's become second nature, and there's a difference in culture, there is a difference in body language, there's a difference in energy, in an American raised in the United States, a Latino raised in their country. But at the end of the day, I think the important thing to remember when you're dealing with people and when you're dealing with the character that you're playing is everybody needs to be heard. Everybody has that urgency to be heard. They need their case to be heard, whatever their case may be in their life, that which causes them pain. And also they need love. Every human being needs love. And that's what I found with these characters that they have in common. But yes, there is a definite cultural difference. I don't know if physically I can really do anything. You know, I can change my hair color. That's about it. And maybe, you know, wardrobe. But it's more about there's a difference in the way that Latino speaks versus an English-speaking, you know, American, because there are many Spanish-speaking Americans now as well.
Sure,
and this is a melting pot, and we're very proud of that. But there is a cultural difference. And so when you embrace those cultural differences in those cultures or any culture, you're enriched by it, and it gives you it just gives you tremendous objectivity about the human spirit. And that's what I found, is that at the end of the day, no matter how people speak, no matter how they act, no matter how they conduct themselves, everybody needs love and everybody needs to be heard.
Amazing. So well said. And it really does come across and say you are two different people, look the same, but two different people. And that is just amazing acting. Now, before we go on to finish up into the graphic novel, but there's one more thing. I mean,
one of my idols is Dolly Parton, and you and her have something in common. You have created your own line of jewelry with butterflies or mariposa in Spanish. This is an amazing line of jewelry. Talk about that for a second.
Well, first of all, one of your idols is Dolly Parton. Dude, let me tell you, I was on a set. I was working on Sunset Gower. Just so you know, she has been an idol of mine since I was 3. I have loved this woman. And she was on the SAG Awards last night, and I was screaming like a little girl.
Yes, she was. Yes.
Oh, my God. And she was just so gorgeous, and she's so amazing and so brilliant and such a wonderful businesswoman. And she always has imparted this beautiful energy. And I was on a set when I was 16 or 17 years old, and I have this huge doll collection. And I got a Dolly Parton doll from the Cracker Barrel when I was like, my mom got it for me when I was like 6 years old. So I was on a set, and I heard that she was taping an episode of a show next to me on the next soundstage. So I called my mother, and I said, get my Dolly Parton doll down here now. She's on the other set. And she said, what? So she ran down with my Dolly Parton doll, and I went onto the set, and I went backstage, and there she was in all of her splendor. And I said, Miss Parton, would you? And she interrupted me. She said, oh, you're so cute. And I said, oh, my God, I'm going to die.
I would have died. Okay.
And I handed her the pen shaking, and I handed her the doll shaking. And it's one of my prized possessions, my signed Dolly Parton doll. And I think it's incredible because she does have butterflies around her all the time, mariposas in Spanish. And that came, again, the way that life kind of finds its way back to you and the things that happen to you in your life and how everything kind of comes full circle. I did a show for Telemundo, which has now been sold to over these 80 countries. It's one of the most successful shows in Telemundo's history. It's been sold 6 times over, and we're very proud of this project. It was called Doña Bárbara, starring the amazing Edith González, and in it I played the role of Cecilia. And it was a storyline with a wonderful actor by the name of Arap Betke, who is one of our licensed images for Daylight Sucks. And he and I played the roles of Cecilia and Antonio, and he was my younger lover on the show. And so pardon the melodrama, but he always called me Mariposa, butterfly, because I was always flying from his hands. And it created this huge phenomena. I know. Very sweet and syrupy. And it created this huge phenomenon in many different countries in Latin America and in Europe. And this whole thing created a phenomenon that became way bigger than I was. And it was this fan club called the Mariposas. And the Mariposas ended up being this life force of women. And it ended up really speaking to women as women in this fan club. And we didn't just address like how cool the telenovela was and other telenovelas. We also addressed subjects like breast cancer and domestic violence and miscarriage and just these amazing issues that started coming up within the fan club. And I was inspired. I had a dream and I saw a butterfly, but instead of the bug, if you will, instead of the caterpillar in the center, it was a woman, and she was holding the world in her hands, and she had the butterfly wings. So I called my mother, who's an artist. She paints the next morning, and I said, Mom, could you draw this for me? And she said, okay. So she drew it, and it was just gorgeous. And Craig and I went to Miami Fashion Week. Here we were at Miami Fashion Week. This was just about a month after I got my mother's drawing, and we found this beautiful artist by the name of Lisa Chagan, a Venezuelan artist, you know, female, does gorgeous work in metals and with fabrics and Swarovski crystals. And we said, can we meet with you tomorrow on Lincoln Road and have a cup of coffee? And she said, yeah. So we set up the meeting, and I brought my mother's drawing, and I said, can you do this? And she said, oh, my God. And I said, I want to speak to women about women's empowerment, and I want the theme to be Mariposa, find your wings. Butterfly, find your wings. Find that which inspires you to fly, whether it be an education, a career, a vocation, being a mother, being a wife, being single, travel, a sexual orientation, a religion, a spirituality, whatever it is that gives you the wings with which to fly and live your best life, do that. And that's the theme that I wanted behind this jewelry line. And so Lisa and I worked for like a year, and she would send me examples from Venezuela. And I would say, no, this isn't quite right. And then I'd suggest that. No, that's not going to work. And we finally found this beautiful example of a butterfly, a woman in flight, and she does it with Swarovski crystals. And we have the website online. It's called mariposakatie.com. And every time I go out wearing one of these pieces of jewelry, I have it yanked off my neck by some woman somewhere, whether she be a bank teller or a waitress or whatever. When they find out it's my line, they're like, can you give me this one? And I'm like, can you just order it online? Because this one has my energy. You deserve your, no, I want this one. So it's an amazing experience to be able to impart that female power and that female energy to women through this jewelry line. And it's just awesome. And then to see all of these butterflies surrounded by one of my also idols, which is Dolly Parton, is too cool.
Well, they are gorgeous, and you have a fantastic story that goes along with it on the website about empowerment. I encourage all my listeners to go check that out. Let's go ahead and take a quick break and do a little honor here to Dolly Parton. We'll play her in Pentatonix's Jolene. When we come back, we're going to talk all about this fantastic new graphic novel, Daylight Sucks, and you're listening to the beautiful and amazing Katie Barbieri right here on the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Nice.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain. I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep. There's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. But I can easily understand how you could easily take my man. You don't know what he means to me, Jolene.
With Jolene. Guys, we're talking today to telenovela superstar and American actress Katie Barbieri. She has this great new project. It's called Daylight Sucks. It's a very first graphic novel. And you've been part of this now, like you said, you've created your fiance, Craig Hurley. Let's start there. How did you guys meet? How did the project, you said this project, he started a long time ago, I think you told me off air, but how is it to work together as a couple and learning our fellow geekdom from Craig? Has he drawn you into our culture?
You know, I got to tell you, it is such a pleasure to be on your show, Scott. I'm having so much fun. And by the way, playing Jolene might have been the most perfect thing you could possibly do on the break. And I had not heard this version. I had heard the version with Miley, which is awesome, in the original. But this was awesome. Thank you so much. That was a lovely
opportunity. Oh, you're welcome.
Have a little a little cup of coffee and listen to Colin, which is always a pleasure. Anyway, yes, Craig Hurley. Craig Hurley and I have been engaged now for 5 years, happily. And we met when I was 17 and he was 20 on the set of Freddy's Nightmares. I don't know if you remember that show.
Yes.
Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger, The Nightmare on Elm Street, that whole genre. And after they did like six of those movies and exhausted the franchise and film, they did a series version. And it was Twilight Zone-y in that every week they had a new cast. And Freddy was, he would simply possess one of the characters or two of the characters in the series episode. And in this case, it was me. And Craig played my hot rod loving boyfriend who just, everybody was always trying to get out of Springwood. And he wanted to get out of Springwood desperately. And he wanted to do that by driving away in his hot rod and taking me with him. And I was a good girl. And I wanted to get out of Springwood was the right way. Well, he gets killed. And so I go off to college and murder all of my sorority sisters. So that week that I was working on Freddy's Nightmares, Craig would walk onto the set or into makeup or wardrobe or wherever it was, cafeteria, whatever he was doing. And I would sweat the adolescent sweat and drool the adolescent drool. He paid me absolutely no attention. Oh, God. Anyway.
That's bullshit.
Okay, hi.
He immediately got checked for glasses after that. Okay.
I was a good girl. I do not make phone calls to men. Well, I do now, except it's a completely different story, just for you. Anyway, he was, you know, he says that it was because I was 17 and he was 20, and so I wasn't legal to date. I say it was the 80s hair that held him off. We'll never really know what happened. But anyway, he can take that to the grave, and I'll never know the difference. But he had this idea around that time, a couple years before we did that show. He wrote a book. We worked together that week, and then I never saw him again. And I went off, and I became this telenovela star, their term, not mine. And he continued working in L.A., and he did, you know, several series, and then he opened his production company in Chicago. And he wrote this book called 27 and All Washed Up, which in my opinion is one of the funniest, most brutal, and most honest portrayals of the entertainment industry in the 80s and 90s. It's a commentary on his career. And he sent me a message via Facebook. This is 23 years later. He sent me a message via Facebook. Yeah. And he said, just wanted to let you know that I wrote this book. And that you're in it, because I talk all about my career, but I want you to know that I spoke about you the way I always felt, you know, that you were a lovely lady and what have you. And would you like a copy? And I'm like, oh, my God, Craig Hurley. And I had just gotten out of this, just to be candid, awful relationship. And I was single, and I thought, well, he's got to be married, gay, something. There's got to be some reason why it's just not possible. Divorced with a gorgeous daughter that I later fell madly in love with. And we started talking and then started talking more. And finally he said, okay, well, am I going there to Miami? Are you coming here? And I'm like, I'll come visit Chicago. And we got together and we've been apart for exactly 5 days since then, only because he had to drive the car down because I had to fly in to do the last Telemundo project. Last year, he had to drive the car down, and so we were separated for 5 days, and that's the most time we've been away from each other. So it's a weird Hollywood love story. But he developed this idea for this family of vigilante vampires, the Allenwicks, when he was 18, and he wanted each character in this family. There are four children. They're actually somewhere between 500 and 120 years old. The youngest is 120 years old, but they all look to be 16 or 17. And the mother and the father, typical family, supposed to be a little eccentric, maybe in their attire and the way that they deal with people. But each one has their own cause. And for instance, Max Allenwick, who is visually inspired by Rahart Adams, because he asked if we could develop this story. He said, let's develop this story. He started writing it. He said, I've had this idea in my head for a long time, and now I need you to write the telenovela part of this. So, he... Oh, my God!
Hijacking... No, I'm not hijacking the interview. I'm hijacking your radio show.
Is this Craig?
How you doing, man?
I am doing
fantastic.
He's
horrible at... Yeah, this is Craig.
Anyone that names his production company Scrappico, I'm in love with already. So you are welcome on the show anytime,
cool.
My friend.
Oh, thank you. Right now I'm just hijacking it. Where were you? What were you saying? Okay, no. I'm sitting there watching. She was doing Every Which Way and for Nickelodeon, and I'm sitting at the Marriott, and I'm flipping through channels, and this is like 3 years ago, and sorry, I'm out of breath. I just ran over here. this was like 3 or 4 years ago, and 3 years ago, it was like the third season of Every Which Way, and I'm sitting at the Marriott where we were staying, and I'm flipping through the channel. She's at the set, and I got to something that was on Univision, and I'm used to like watching Telemundo and Univision, and I'm a total gringo, dude. And right. You know, I'm used to watching that stuff anyway because I was stalking Katie for years. So for like
good for you, man.
At least 15 years, there's at least 13 years on Telemundo. And then before that, there was Univision stuff that she was doing. So I'm flipping through the channels and I stopped at Univision and they had Vampiros. And I'm like, it's supposed to be chick vampires. And I'm like, what? This is the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen. And it was like somebody went to the Halloween store and put on a bunch of masks and then like wrote out some stupid plot line about some vampires that were women. And it was just a joke. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, somebody gave these people somewhere around $6 million to do this production. And I'm just wondering how and why can't, you know, one of my ideas, if they can put this stuff out, and they sit there and they copy all this stuff all the time. They copy all these really good plots and then call them their own, which is fine because it's a different market and it's soap opera, so you got to be copying something. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to copy every single thing. I'm going to copy Twilight is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with Twilight. And I turn to Katie and I'm like, I'm copying Twilight and I'm going to write it out and I need you to write it as a telenovela. And she's like, no, you're not doing this. I hate vampire genre stuff. And I hate horror and you're not doing this. And I think it's a bad idea. And I'm like, no, we'll be able to get it picked up. Somebody will pay $6 million for this crap. It's totally copied and I'm going to do it. I went over to Best Buy. Are you still there, Scott, or have you cut me off?
I'm here. I'm listening, loving every second.
Okay, cool. I went over to Best Buy. I purchased a copy of Twilight and I put it on the DVD player that we had every single time for months. Katie would walk by and I'm watching Twilight and I'm sitting there writing, but I wasn't writing Twilight. The whole point of Daylight Sucks is it's nothing like any vampire thing you've ever seen. And in fact, every single vampire myth that's out there, let's start
nice.
With, oh, I don't know, something stupid like garlic. Are you frigging kidding me? Garlic? They cook with garlic. In fact, they cook human with garlic. Garlic is an old wives' tale on that it gets rid of mosquitoes and it gets rid of fleas. So it immediately went to, oh, must get rid of vampires. It gets rid of other things that bite. But no, that's really dumb. So we're getting rid of that. And just science, we're going with science on a lot of this stuff. Because science is actually fact. Well, at least
I
as
love
close
it.
To it as we can actually possibly get to. So we're going with science on all of this, and I'm debunking the hell out of every single vampire myth that's ever been created. And all the way from Dracula on up, all the way, I mean, we're going back. I'm going back to Vlad as the Impaler. I go back in history and with this. Hold on. I'm almost there. I'm coming back around. Don't worry. I'm not on a rant. Don't worry. Wow. Anyway. Wow, you cut me off. Now I don't even know what I was saying. Okay,
tell Katie
hold on
to call in from her
no.
cell phone. We
so,
got both
so
down
I'm
at the same time.
Writing. So I'm sitting there writing, right? And no, it's okay. Wait, what did you just say, Scott?
I said, if you guys want to be on together, one of you can call from another cell phone. Len and I, we can all be on at the same time at the same phone number.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I may just call
you
from another
cell phone.
Just have
her call the same number she called.
Now, let me just get this done, and I may just call you. But what? Okay, so no. Okay, so I'm sitting there, and I'm writing, right? And she thinks the whole time that I'm writing a copied version of Twilight that she needs to transpose into Spanish, and I'm like, they had a break, and in between the third and fourth season of Every Which Way, I think they were actually done with Every Which Way at this point. And we were in Colorado. I've got a condo in Colorado, and that's where I take Katie every single time she's done working, because otherwise there's no work in Miami. There's no work in Miami for regular actors like me. I've done every single show down here that I could. So,
right.
And I even did a movie that came out of – I did Plastic that came out of whatever. I didn't mean to talk about this. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and I finished writing, and we're in Colorado, and I said, hey, Katie, I really need you to transpose this because I'm horrible on the computer. Everything was handwritten, right? So she reads it, and she goes, oh, my God, Craig, this is really good. And I went, yeah. And she goes, no, I mean, it's really good. And I was like, I thought you hated vampire stuff. And she's like, no, this is really good. I thought this was going to be Twilight. And I go, it's nothing like Twilight. We're even debunking Twilight bullshit. Nobody glows in the sunlight. What are you talking about? So, you know, I'm going after all of that. And there are no werewolves. Anybody brings up a werewolf into this project, they are immediately fired. Do not bring up werewolves in my project. So,
I love it.
And witches and warlocks and zombies. No, 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 no. Go away. This is about vampires. So. She was like, wow, I really like it. And I was like, okay, cool. So now what I really need you to do is write the beginning part of it, which is the telenovela aspect of it, because I need a protagonist to go along with, and I've already got a bunch of antagonists. I've already got a protagonist in it, but I need a bunch of antagonists in it. I need the lead protagonist in it too. And it needs to be a woman in order to really create that genre. Because that's
right.
What I was trying to create. And I'll let Katie tell you the rest of the story.
Well, thanks for popping in, Craig. Like I said, if you want to call in, ask her for the number. You can call in and join us.
Oh, my God. Okay. Hi.
Hey, Katie. How you doing? Welcome to your interview.
I'm good. Well, here's the thing. If you can harness that creative madness, you have a genius. You have to harness it.
You
have to pull it out of the air like a lasso and bring it down to earth and harness it. But if you do, you have a genius. And that is who has created this. He told
me.
You two are
a power couple, believe me.
Thank you. Yes, we love to create together. And he wanted me to write the telenovela side of this story. And he said, this is what you're going to help me with. I have the vigilante vampire side. You write the telenovela side. So I did. I wrote the story of Esperanza Martinez, who is a young, undocumented immigrant to the United States, searching for her father, who doesn't know she existed because he had a short relationship with a Mexican woman. And she comes to Miami searching for her father, who works at the Mexican consulate. Again, doesn't know she exists, and meets this Alan Wick family and may become very involved with one of the characters. So we started sending these scripts to actors we would like to see portraying the roles when we were thinking about a visual interpretation of this project, like a television
right.
show. And so we started sending it to actors to play these characters. They were thrilled with it. We decided we wanted to explore the graphic novel genre first, and we wanted to explore the comic book genre first, and all of the actors that we had spoken to about this, we contacted them. We said, do you want to be the visual inspirations for these characters? We can't picture ourselves drawing anyone else. They all said yes. We got Rahard Adams on board. We got Tyler Alvarez on board. We got the amazing Alexa Pomales on board. Paris Smith, Arap Bethke, who I did Doña Barbara with. and who we didn't have a George Allen with. He plays my, he's the love of Eva's life. He is her partner, and he is the father in the Allen Wick clan. And we didn't have a George. And I said to Craig one day, I said, you know, Arap and I were so successful in Doña Barbara, and no one has put us back together. And he said, I'll put you back together. So we got a licensing agreement for Arap, and he loved it, and he is the visual inspiration for George Allen Wick. And so we have crafted this combination of actors who are well-known for the Nickelodeon genre that I did Every Which Way with, but also the telenovela genre. Autumn Wendell is also involved. Luis Tameo is also involved. Jackie Frazee. Jason Drucker, who is the new Wimpy Kid, by the way. And Guy Ecker, who may be the most famous telenovela star in history. So it's very exciting. We are so thrilled to have all of these actors on board. They are the visual inspirations for the characters. We draw them as the characters. And so far, the response has just been absolutely amazing. And it's about the adventures of Esperanza as she meets the Allen Wicks. Each character has a cause in this vigilante vampire family. Madison Allen Wick, who is visually inspired by Paris Smith, she's a feminist, and she is about women's rights. And she is the cutest little ball buster that you'll ever meet. Autumn Wendell inspires Ashley Allen Wick, and she is about environmental and animal rights. Tyler Alvarez inspires James Allen Wick, and he is about one border. And it is very exciting to see this time in our history and these characters that are being portrayed within this genre. Rahart Adams visually inspires Max Allen Wick, and Max Allen Wick is against all different types of prejudices, from race to sexual orientation. And if you are prejudiced against someone because of their race, culture, or origin, or sexual orientation, you better look out if Max happens to see it. And then Eva is women and children's rights. That's a character that I visually inspire. And George is humanity. George is about the human condition and finding truth within one's right to believe in a God. What does that mean exactly? So these are very profound characters, and Esperanza represents the immigrant struggle in the United States, which for me is an honor to be writing about. I do.
Yeah, I think
write
it's just amazing. Like you said, you hit it right on the head. You're starting this a while back, but it's so tune with today, everything that's happening through immigration orders over the weekend to LGBT rights. There's supposedly a new executive memo coming out about LGBT rights pretty soon. And you guys are spot
on
with this.
Memo?
I just love it.
What executive memo are you talking about? An LGBT,
well,
a new one?
It's in the LGBT news press today that there is supposedly they're drafting a new executive memo limiting LGBT rights. It's not, and Sean Spicer was asked about it. It's been, he says, I won't talk on anything. It's not been public yet. So he didn't deny it. He didn't admit it. So we're kind of clenching our teeth, waiting to see if that's one of the next memos that comes out, but it's not official yet.
This is a time where we united we stand, and divided we are in very, very big trouble. And it just needs to be about love, and we need to love one another and be there for one another. We need to hear one another. I have respect for everyone's decisions and their rights and their political beliefs, but people are in pain and people are scared.
Yes.
And they don't deserve to be. They haven't done anything to anyone, and it has to be addressed. It has
very well
to
said.
Be addressed.
Very
and,
well said.
This is a beautiful time to be doing this project, you know. But the Allen Wicks and Daylight Sucks are a comic book, and it's exciting for people to see. The word that my love Craig Hurley uses, the very base word douchebags, being eaten and sucked alive by these vampires for hurting others. But it's a comic book, And it's exciting and it's fun to watch at the and to read and to experience. And we're excited for people to do that. And it provides escapism and entertainment and a kind of feeling of camaraderie in a time when it's very necessary. But at the end of the day, as human beings, we have to address what is happening with love and with deference and respect for one another. And oh my God, it just, we have to embrace each other's hearts and stand together. We really do. It's vital.
I agree 1,000%. Like I said, I think this project is so timely now. I mean, I have to come out of another closet. I was a huge fan. I'm a Nickelodeon fan. It's good release. I'm an older guy, but it's just nice to relax and think about your childhood, right? And every which
yeah.
way, I just love that you're bringing a lot of your cast back from every which way. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I loved you and your high throat voice or high head voice being that character that I didn't know was based on a Spanish language show to begin with. So it's a great transition.
It was based on a Spanish language show. It was based on Grachi. And actually one of the original cast members of Grachi is Alexa Pomales, who is we are extremely proud to have her as our visual inspiration for our lead female in Daylight Sucks, which is Esperanza Martinez, our protagonist. She was in the original version of Every Which Way called Grachi, and then it became Every Which Way, and I did 380 episodes total between the two languages, playing the same character. I can't believe you saw it. That's so cool. That's crazy. I love it. We're a family. You know, these actors, we became a family on this shoot. It was all for one and one for all, and this was a project being done in Miami that not a lot of people had faith in, to be perfectly honest, and it became number one. And we worked very hard, and we saw each other every day, and every night we would hang out and go to dinner and spend all day together. And we just, you know, these actors are doing so amazing now, and I'm so proud of them. Tyler Alvarez, Orange is the New Black. He is a cast member of Orange is the New Black. He plays Benito. They just won the SAG Award last night for Best Ensemble for
yes,
Best Comedy. Rahard Adams is doing amazing. He's becoming a movie star. All of our actors are doing so. He's in Pacific Rim too, and he's doing amazing. We're so proud of them, and we're so proud to have them on this project. And we're a family. We stick together and we support each other. And it's an amazing. It was such an honor to be on this project with these kids. You know, they're so incredible.
Well, I can't wait for mine to come in the mail. I hope it progresses to at least a web series, if not a full-fledged television series. But tell everyone how they can find you, how they can follow you on social media, to give the website so they can order their own graphic novels. Get all that information.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's start with the Daylight Sucks website. It's really hard. Ready? DaylightSucks.com. Really tough. DaylightSucks.com, and there's all kinds of information about, you know, the graphic novel and the characters and what inspired the characters. And we have videos of all of the actors talking about being the visual inspirations for the characters and how exciting that is for them. Cause all of them are like, are you kidding me? I'm a comic book character. That's, you know, that's pretty badass. So they're having a lot of fun with that. And then we have these amazing graphic artists that are out of Colombia. They are Colombian graphic artists. And so we work with them every day via chat. They're in Colombia, and I don't mean the university. They're in the country,
wow, that's
Colombia,
nice.
Right now. And they are Juan Pablo Solarte and Brigitte Lopez, and our associate producer, Mauricio Toro, brought them on. And so we work with them every day, and they are just thrilled with this project. So it's an international project, and we want everybody to get their copies, you know, because we want this to grow, and we want people to get behind the Alan Wicks and their causes, because it's going to make everybody feel so much better.
Yes, it is.
And my website for the jewelry is Mariposa Katie. That's Mariposa Katie, KATIE.com. And you can get your women's empowerment piece of jewelry there. I have necklaces and earrings and rings and bracelets, and it's awesome. And then I am at Katie Barberi on Twitter. I am at The Real Katie Winky on Instagram, and I have a Facebook fan page called Katie Barberi Actrice, A C ACTRIZ. And we also have a Daylight Sucks Facebook page. It's just Daylight Sucks. And Daylight Sucks is on Twitter as Daylight Lowercase Sucks, at Daylight Lowercase Sucks. And then on Instagram, we are at Daylight Sucks Comics. So it's a very exciting time. It really is.
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to get, like I said, my novels in the mail. I want to hear more about this. We're going to have you come back on as it progresses into the next chapters. And as we, like I said, we're going to cross our fingers and knock on wood, we're going to bring it to at least a web series or a television series. I loved having you on, Katie Barbieri, I got to tell you.
Oh, you are such a sweetheart, Scott. And thank you for allowing my Craig to hijack the show. He's very passionate about Daylight Sucks, and that passion is creating one hell of a project. And so I'm very, very proud of him. Thank you for allowing him to hijack. And
it is my pleasure. I'm going to invite both of you guys back. We're going to talk off air, and I'm going to invite. I do a Wednesday show called Standing on My Soapbox. It's all about current events in politics, pop culture, and LGBT history. I'd love to guys have your passion to just. That would be one Wednesday. It'd be fun to have both of you guys on together.
Oh, my God. He would love that, and I would love that. And your graphic novels are in the mail, sir, and we're so excited to send them to you, and it has been such a pleasure.
It has been for me as well. Katie, stay on the line for me. Guys, we'll be back in just a couple of seconds. We've been listening to fantastic Katie Barbieri and, of course, her husband, Craig. We're talking all about their graphic novel, which is Daylight Sucks. We're going to play out here for a couple seconds with David Hernandez from American Idol Beautiful. He's going to be on the show next month. We'll be back in just a little bit. Thanks for listening to the Left and Straight Show.
There's father in the sky and they start into a line. I see you passing by and we're slowing down the tide. Now my love is flashing by. All I see is flashing lights. Cause you're right here by my side. Can you feel it come alive? If this were a love song, would you be mine? Cause I just can't get you off of my mind. And I think about you all day and night. So I wrote you a love song, wrote you a love song. Baby, you're beautiful. I think you're beautiful.
righty, guys, we are back. Want to thank the great Katie Barbieri being guest today, and of course her husband Craig for jumping on in there, Craig Hurley. Guys, you need to check out this graphic novel. It's amazing and it looks a lot of fun, and it's such worthy causes. I mean, they're fighting injustice. They're eating time to time to fight injustice against LGBT, animal rights, planet rights, immigration, border safety. It's just a great cause, and I think it's going to go over very, very well. They have two episodes out so far, and they're writing more as we speak. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have the creators and cast of Gossip Boy, which is a web series going into its third season. Looking forward to that. If you missed any of our episodes here, you can always download our free Left of Straight app. Just go to your Google iPhone or your Android phone, go to your app store, type in Left of Straight Radio. The free app comes on. You'll never miss an episode. And I appreciate you coming and listening tonight. We'll talk to you soon. This is Left of Straight Show, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good evening.